Positive Perspective, one of the most interesting hours in radio, where we shine the positive light of Jesus Christ on the scriptures, music, our communities, and world issues. We're broadcasting live from Skid Row Studios in beautiful downtown Los Angeles.
Hi, I'm Willis Boyd.
And I'm Shantae Duncan.
And you're listening to Positive Perspective. Our in-studio visitor tonight is, or guest tonight, is Samuels. And Anthony. Anthony, I don't know your last name.
Romero.
Anthony Romero. And very interesting show tonight. I met Brad at the gym. And it seemed like a lively person. You can tell he's obviously in shape. And he's also Jewish. I mean, I didn't know that looking at him. But, you know, we kind of talked and, you know, some things come out and stuff. And I'm very interested in Jewish people and their culture and that whole thing. So he agreed to come on the show and let us ask him some questions and further our knowledge and curiosities about Jewish people. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing very well, thank you.
Okay, and we also have Denise Boyd and beautiful co-host Shantae. Okay, so Shantae, ask this man some questions.
Just kind of wanted to get, I guess we can discuss your background and how you were raised Jewish and what that whole process was like.
Well, I started going to Hebrew school at age 7 or 8, and you go there for about 3 or 4 years. So you become fluent in reading and writing Hebrew, and that's kind of training for your bar mitzvah, actually, because you have to read from the Torah for about an hour, and it's all in Hebrew.
So is it true you have to have, like, portion memorized?
Yes. And I do a small portion.
What's that process like on... doing that.
Memorizing it?
Yeah.
I don't exactly remember because I don't think it was a very large amount of stuff I had to memorize. They basically pull it out, the Torah, and you read from it. They have a section picked out that you read from. It's a very, very, very big book. And that's kind of, you train on what you're supposed to read from the get-go, and you usually start training to read from it about a year before.
So you sound like you were raised like an Orthodox in a Jewish home?
No, I was raised in a conservative home, which is kind of like mid-level intensity, if you want to call it that. Reform would be the least less intense, and that's kind of the most common in America right now. I did go to a Reform temple for a few years, and I think my parents saw me acting up and maybe sent me to a little more strict one.
And you were raised where?
In Cleveland, Ohio.
Okay, what was that like?
Very cold. Well, where I was raised, actually, it was very Jewish. You know, very, very Jewish area. The name of the town is Beechwood, actually. It's a town just outside of Cleveland. I wasn't raised within the city limits. It was an experience growing up there. It was very, very utopian-like.
Utopian-like. Oh,
yes.
Utopian.
Utopian. Like almost.
I thought
like
you said mutopian.
Utopian. Almost like a perfect world.
Yeah.
I grew up in an area where we could have left our doors unlocked at night and nothing would have happened. We never did, though.
So was the. Because my parents are from Pennsylvania, and I know when we've gone and back there to visit, areas in that part of the country are, you know, predominantly like. That one area my aunt lives in is all Italians live in that area. Then you have the Irish that live in one area. So your town was basically all Jewish living in that town?
Yeah, the name of the town is Beechwood, and I believe the last stat I saw was that it's 85% Jewish.
Wow.
And probably the rest, I'd probably say 10% black and 4% other.
You said 10%?
I would say 10%, yeah.
Oh, okay. So,
but like I say, you know, I was saying about the utopian aspect. I've been in California for 9 years on this tour. I lived here also in 2000 for about 2 years. I lived in LA and then San Diego. And I very different. Very different sociologically growing up here. Uh-huh. Growing up there, I'm sorry.
And okay, but how long you say you were here?
I've been here since 2005. I moved here in August of 2005. I lived here in at the end of 1999 and then moved out in the beginning of 2001.
Okay, so what part of LA were you in when you were here?
I was in Hollywood and Sunland. Hmm. And I was working for an advertising company. Oh, I had a job offer from a friend back home who they also had an office in Cleveland, so I wanted to get out of Cleveland actually because of some issues I was having, so I moved out here for a different a fresh start. Uh-huh. And it didn't work out that well, so I moved back home.
Oh, you went back to Cleveland?
Yeah, I went back to Cleveland. My family had a business back there, so I could just jump back there and work there. And I stepped out into the real world and was getting beat up.
You're getting hammered?
Getting hammered.
So you say you went to San Diego as well?
Yes, I lived down there for a little while.
And whereabouts did you live there?
Pacific Beach. Right on the beach, actually.
And you live there?
I live there, and I can say that it was probably the most miserable time of my life.
Oh, why? Why do you say that?
Nah, I was, and doing drugs, a lot of drugs back then. And just down.
Oh, I got you. I'm like, San Diego is awesome.
Oh, it was.
Sandy beaches. You're just like, oh,
yeah. And I lived right on the beach. I lived literally, I could toss a stone and it would be on the beach, even if I didn't have a strong arm.
So growing up in Cleveland in a predominantly Jewish town, then moving out to California where it's a little more liberal.
It's a little more goyish.
A lot of Gentiles there, yes.
Was that hard to try to adjust to? Because it's almost like a sheltered life when you live in a town that everybody's pretty much the same.
Yeah, absolutely. That's exactly a very good way to put it. Sheltered. Here, it's kind of like the jungle.
Yeah.
You know, just all of, you're right, though. It's very liberal, but everything is here, every aspect. It's like it's just a melting pot of ideologies, views, and a lot of other things. It's not
okay,
just.
Okay. Now, the drug thing, did you get into that before you left home, or did that happen when you culture shocked out here?
No. I was, I started doing that back in Cleveland. And looking back at my childhood and life, I almost think that I was destined to do that, to fall into that.
That's kind of weird saying that.
A little bit, yes.
That was predestined?
Well, I wouldn't say it was predestined. My insecurities and stuff as a child and, even growing up into my teens and early childhood, looking back on it, it seemed very, very, very likely that that would have happened.
Because of the why questions?
What do you mean exactly?
Like the answers that you were looking for that maybe you couldn't find.
I wasn't really looking for answers back then. I was looking for excitement. And I was looking for a
something different.
Yeah, something outside of a normal life. You know how people think that sometimes they're destined for, great things or, bigger things than your average person.
So was your life really structured and your parents had kind of planned, this is what you're going to be when you grow up?
In general, kind of, you have to do this, you have to go to college, not that it's a bad thing to say things like that, but I was never molded into doing something specific, if that's what you mean. Mm-hmm. There was nothing, saying.
You're going to be a doctor. There wasn't
I was just
that.
Thinking that. Or a lawyer.
Yeah.
Right.
The stereotypes again that we're saying.
But I wish I would have been one. I would have became one.
Yeah, well, you seem intelligent enough, in my opinion.
Thank you.
To handle yourself in those areas.
So how did you get out of the drug scene then, if you were, kind of drawn into that as looking for excitement?
Jail, actually.
Okay.
Incarceration.
Incarceration. The inhumane incarceration. Although in my case, I didn't do, I had a few stints in jail and did a little bit of time, but it was the shock of losing my freedom. Mm-hmm. It's interesting because it set me onto the first time I got in trouble was in 2005, and I had already been a drug addict for a decade at that point, pretty much. And I had never gotten in trouble. I never had any problems getting them. I always had a little bit of money in my pocket to get them. And all of a sudden out here, things started to, the floor started to crack and the bottom was falling out. So, and then I got in trouble, I got arrested, and then my life completely changed.
Yeah. Okay. Now, did you go to the pen or just?
A hard time.
Yes, I did one prison term in 2009, and I was sentenced to 9 months total and did, actually I was sentenced to 16 months, I'm sorry, and did 9 months total. But I was only in prison. I was at a reception center, which was in Wasco. I was there for maybe 3 months, and that was very, very, very shocking.
Let's say that again.
It's in Wasco?
Wasco, I'm sorry. Oh. Wasco. It's in Bakersfield. It's up north. It's a prison.
In Moscow? Were you a spy?
No. I've never been to Moscow. Yeah, I've never been to Moscow. Maybe I'd like to visit one day in the summer.
Yeah.
You know, but not I mean,
not being shipped to a prison out there. Right?
You ever seen the way that they the prisons there is awful. It's
you guys, the prisons out here, they're
like, a little more liberal.
Yeah, they're like picnics, walks in the parks compared to
flat screen TVs and HD and football and 3 square hot meals and you can sleep all day, absolutely.
Okay, yeah. Tell me about being Jewish though in the state pen. Or was it federal?
No, state. No, I didn't.
You didn't have the clout to get.
No, I didn't. No, I'm not a hardened criminal. It was just off of some probation violations actually that sent me to prison. It was actually my choice to go to prison, believe it or not. I wanted to get off of probation, and I couldn't stand reporting in anymore to an authority figure and having them tell me what to do, when to come in, and I felt trapped. So I couldn't deal with that anymore. So my option was to either accept a deal that the state had offered me, which was only for 4 months, but extension of probation. And I said, no, I'll just take the prison and get away from it.
Get over it.
Because the laws had changed, actually, in 2009. Actually, as they do change every year when it comes to prison. Mm-hmm. If you're no longer a high-level criminal, you do not have to report in to parole officers anymore. It's called NRP, non-revocable parole. So that really attracted me. Yeah, that was very attractive to me because another 4 years of having to report into somebody was
crazy.
Yeah. Now, you said something about being Jewish?
In prison. Because we were kind of talking about everything's segregated and...
Everything's racially segregated and you have, the white car and the white supremacist and that kind of stuff. And I'll be completely honest, and this is something I'm a little ashamed of. I had omitted, if you want to say, or lied about being Jewish. I said, maybe I should just keep my mouth shut.
And stay alive?
Yes. not get into the arguments or the fights, whatever. And I did that at first. And then I thought, I can't keep doing this. It's what I am. It's who I am. And it's, if somebody's going to hate me for it, then,
Oh, but I mean, when somebody hates you in prison, it's kind of a, it's kind of a, so.
Yeah, but that never occurred. I have a sense of humor and,
Your sense of humor got you through?
My sense of humor got me through. I was actually liked, so.
Were there many other, Jewish people there, or?
No, but I did, a few. Mm-hmm. I did meet a few. There was actually an Israeli I met, weapons charges, believe it or not.
Shock, shock.
Yeah, what a shock. And there was another Jewish kid that grew up in Detroit that I had befriended, and it's funny, everybody thought that we were brothers. We looked alike, I guess, but...
Would you have the Afro wigs on, or...?
No. I've been losing hair. No, my hair is receding.
Oh, you meant, not brothers, but,
Like blood brothers.
Oh, blood brothers, yeah. Brothers. Yeah.
Family.
Yeah, I got you. Yeah. Sorry about that.
No, it's okay. It's all good.
Okay, go ahead. They thought you were brothers, and...
Yeah, and, the making fun of and whatever. But no, nothing. I'm all about it. It's nothing malicious and it's all in fun. So being Jewish in prison wasn't that big of a deal.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Right. So got through it. So
yeah, I think it's much harder actually to be black in there.
And why do you say that?
Because everything is racially segregated and, because of the prisoners in there, actually they do it and the guards go along with it and they're outnumbered, I guess, from what I've seen, and there's riots and
they get the worst end of it.
Yes, in some, at least in some cases, at least just from what I've seen.
Right. Right. That's
So while you were in there, did you see any riots or did you see anything like?
Yeah, I've seen a bunch of them. Mm-hmm. I've seen a few people die. One person by natural causes actually. Another was stabbed. I didn't actually see it. The stabbing happened. I just saw the aftermath. But it was actually interesting. It was a white guy who was stabbed by other white guys because he was acting black.
Whoa.
And they found out he just had a rock in his shoe, right?
Yeah.
But he's walking with that cool walk.
Yeah, he had the slang, whatever.
Right?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
They had a term for it, actually. They referred to him as a white Crip, which I didn't get. I thought a Crip was a gang.
Right.
Yeah.
There's white Crips, right?
No.
You say,
that I know of.
Are they?
No, yeah, there is.
Bobby?
I
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, there's even white bloods. Yeah, that's
because it's just a gang. It's not like a racially thing. It's a money thing.
If you look on the back terms of the Bloods and Crips, yeah, they even have white people. They have Mexicans, Salvadorans. They don't care about the color. They care about the money. What color and the
color
money.
You're wearing.
Right.
Because if you think about it, if you bring other races into this, you get a bigger plan. So if you bring Cubans, you get Cuban, you know, goods and all that stuff. So why not bring every race towards it? But mainly, yeah.
I think, though, what they had labeled it as, the definition of the way they put it was just somebody who, a white person who had acted black. I don't know if they meant that it was a white person actually in a gang, you know. Mm-hmm.
Because they were going to kill him anyway. They would have found another excuse if they didn't have that one, probably. I'm glad it wasn't you.
Yeah, no, I don't have that much hop in my step, you know. I don't think.
No rocks in your shoes.
Yeah, no. Okay. My vertical leap is low, too. So,
so you had said that when you were in there, when you first went into prison, that basically you didn't announce that you were Jewish. And then you felt like, well, that is my heritage. That is who I am. What are you? Are you practicing now Judaism, or what are your beliefs in that?
No, I don't practice any religion. I guess you could say that I'm agnostic, you know, in a sense. I, growing up, practiced it a lot. And as soon as I got out of the house at 18, I stopped doing it. I would go to temple every now and then, you know, just to do it. But practicing, no. Okay. A lot of the Jewish traditions, and I would probably be argued with if some of them were here, are, to me, cultural based, not necessarily religious based. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I have no problem even, you know, partaking in the religious, you know, the religious events that we have in our religion, culture, however you want to classify it.
Okay, yeah. Go ahead, Nisa.
I was going to say, one of the things you had talked about earlier is there's different types of Judaism. What was the type that you were raised in?
Reform, conservative.
But yeah, I think he already.
But there's Hasidic and Orthodox, which are the people you see with the hats and the, you know.
How about the little curly thing?
They're called, the locks, they're called.
That's original.
Yeah. And the talus is, you know what a talus is? The talus is the thing they wear that hangs, you know, if you can see it hanging below their suits. Mm. Now, I can't answer you why they wear, if you were to ask, if the top hats. I got to ask them that. Why do they all wear top hats?
Hey, they want to be cool.
Yeah, but
I mean, what's wrong with that, huh?
Maybe it's the yarmulke thing, because, you know,
ask you about that. What did the yarmulkes mean?
It's out of respect for God, you know. Oh, okay. But I think that you can wear anything over your head. I've actually, in Cleveland, I saw somebody wearing a yarmulke that had a Cavs, Cleveland Cavaliers basketball emblem on it. Yeah, so, you know, I think any kind of thing covering your head will do.
Uh-huh.
But I didn't walk into a temple wearing a baseball hat, but, you know.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Uh-huh.
Well, again, if you look back years and years and years ago, wearing hats inside was disrespectful. Men didn't do that. So just having the yarmulke on was like not a brimmed hat or anything like that. That probably had something to do with, you know, through the traditions of going on and stuff.
That's an interesting thing you say. I've always asked, and I can't get a straight answer. Maybe here somebody knows. Why is it disrespectful to wear a hat inside? I don't really see it.
It's a cowboy thing, I think.
No, it's way before cowboy time.
British English stuff, right?
Yeah, probably. Yeah. I mean, I just know that women used to supposed to cover their heads when they went in church, and men were to take their hats off when they went into church.
Now that's biblical. I mean, if you're going back like that, is that a woman is not supposed to worship with her head uncovered, and a man is not supposed to worship with his head covered? And there's scripture on that, but I'd have to.
But the Orthodox do it, and the Hasidics.
Oh, well, I think it's in the first five books somewhere.
Is it?
Yeah. I don't believe it's not New Testament. So
wait, so why don't we wear, why we're not allowed to wear hats inside?
It's always, I mean, I know I've always been raised, it's just disrespectful for a man to wear a hat inside. Is when you go in, you take your hat off, that's
not,
out of respect.
That's not just church. Yeah. That's always, I
mean, anywhere.
Well, like, yeah. When I was a police explorer, we'd always had our hats. And wherever we were, we had to take it off. Like, so if we entered a building, we'd have to take it off, and you have to put it on your side.
Right.
Now, depending on what side you put it on, depends on why you're there. And the reason why our police advisor told us that the reason why they do that, it's a sign of respect towards the people who died. So pretty much, you know, if my, like, I have aunts and uncles who died. So every time you walk into a place and you have to take off your hat, and pretty much it's pretty much giving people respect who died for you. So pretty much because God always, because in there is a story where God walks in and someone's wearing a hat and he said, take off your hat. And they're all like, and they asked him why. He's all like, why? And he said, because that's showing respect towards my father, and it's showing respect towards your loved ones and the ones that passed away. Because if you have a hat on, it's like disrespecting them because you're not. In other words, like how I grew up raising is because the reason why, if you have a hat on, it's like God can't see you, or like your family members can't see you and they can't identify you. So like that's what my church taught me. So that's why every time wherever I went, I'd always take off my beanie or I'd take off my hat, and I do it just for a short time. Or if I mainly more what they respect more is like it has to be done in church. So if you walk into a church with your hat, need to take it off, because even the pastor will come up to you, or he will, like I've been at churches where they've been like, excuse me, sir, sitting in the third row, third aisle, third pew, three people down, can you please take your hat off? Yeah. And he argued with him. He goes, do you want the Lord to see you? He goes, because God will feel like you're ashamed of him, or you're hiding from him because of what you did in your sin.
That's a whole another show. And also the courtroom. I mean, you can't, they don't let you do that in the courtroom at all.
But you can wear the yarmulke in a courtroom.
You can.
Because it's religious.
Because it's a religious head covering. So you can wear that in a courtroom.
Well, I wear my hat religiously.
If Native Indians can, grow peyote for religious reasons legally, I think we should be allowed to wear a hat in a courtroom.
Wow, you guys are getting off topic. I got to get
Sorry. But actually, I have something on the topic. Again, I just remembered.
Okay, go ahead.
When you walk into a Jewish temple, it is mandatory that you have one on. In fact, they have a box that has yarmulkes in there. I think it's a little unsanitary because it's people sharing
yarmulkes.
Them. Yeah. People sharing them, you know, especially on Saturday and Sunday when, you know, the Hasidics and Orthodox don't shower.
Oh, you know? Oh wow.
Well, I they're not supposed to use anything mechanical, you know, anything.
The Sabbath?
Exactly, to acknowledge us from sundown
Friday
to sunrise.
Friday sundown to
sundown
Sunday
to sundown,
morning.
Actually. Mm-hmm. It's Friday sundown to Saturday sundown.
Oh, okay. Well,
so
that's interesting.
If me and you were to go to one of these and they would have to make me wear, but what if I said I'm not that religion, like I don't believe in wearing it, because I'm Christian. So what I'm saying is, like, if I went with you to one of the temples and you put it on and you told me to put it on and I was like, I don't wear it, it's not again, it's not in my religion and all that, how do you think it would be?
The Jews get violent.
You would not enter.
Well, not necessarily. If he was maybe if we were like in a Reform temple, which is, you know, Reformed. It's not, it's not conservative and it's not Orthodox. It's not extreme. They might be okay with it. Nobody might say anything.
Like some restaurants, you know, you have to have a shirt and tie on. You don't have a shirt and tie. They have ties you can wear for the night, and then you give them back the tie. You know, the same type of principle. If you want to come in here, this is what you're going to do.
Right. I think less and less places are like that, though.
I don't know.
Like they're being more liberal than?
You're right. Not as, you know, less and less things are dressy. You know, there's less and less codes when it comes to that. I think it's, you know, liberal, I guess, is the way to put it when it comes to that.
There's a place that's like down the street that Cheyenne's been wanting me to take her to. It's like they dress up like 50s or 60s style. They dress up all vintage. And the only way you can get in is if you're dressed all like, you know, like. But you called out pretty much like old school status, like all.
I love that stuff, the doo-wop stuff, and like I love that stuff. But that's okay because they're promoting something. You mean like that's not, they're promoting a certain, you know, genre, if you want to call it, or a, you know, a feel at the club. That's understandable.
Okay, let me ask you about Sunday school. You were talking about. Okay, I know we talked a little bit about Hebrew school, but when I think of Sunday school, I think about being a little kid and going to Sunday school. Mm-hmm. But you were saying your Sunday school was.
Well, it was like that. I mean, what was your Sunday school like? What do you?
Yeah, you just went in, you study about Jesus and learned Bible stories.
Don't forget the snacks. You always gonna have the snacks.
Well, it was actually on Sunday, since Jewish people will celebrate Saturday, basically.
No, they,
Friday
do they
night
celebrate
Saturday?
Saturday?
I don't want to say they, celebrate, but go to church on Saturdays.
Well, there's services in any temple on Friday night, Saturday morning. Saturday night, I'm not always sure about, but Sunday morning also.
Oh, is there?
Okay. But with the Orthodox and Hasidics, they're, you know, and that's why you see them walking. Mm-hmm. You know, they're biblical. They're, you know, it's they're acknowledging the Sabbath. So they walk to temple. So they live within, if you're Orthodox, you're living within probably a mile of where you're worshiping at.
Because you're not supposed to walk any further than that?
No, there's no
set amount of distance you are or are not allowed to walk. It's just that you need to be close. And especially in Cleveland, you know, with the weather and everything. Yeah, because they're faithful. They're loyal to it. Uh-huh. What's funny is I just thought about it. If they see someone like me who they consider less than human sometimes because I don't practice that or didn't, they get aggressive.
Oh.
They've get, you know, they get mad.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they're not going to stone you like it tells them to, but they might come close. They do it in Israel, actually. They stone ambulances and stuff like that and police cars on the, on the Sabbath.
Well, because there's supposed to be no work done at all, any kind of work. I mean, I seen a program on TV where they were had the Orthodox Jews walking to church. And, I mean, even when
synagogue,
even when they, I mean, even as far as they prepare the food the day before because their women are not allowed to go and cook in the kitchens. I mean, it's no work whatsoever.
Right, nothing. There's nothing. You're not allowed to use anything mechanical. I don't believe you're allowed to put anything into your mouth.
Basically, your Sunday school was like our Sunday school, except for they're just teaching something different.
Yes, I'm sorry. I got a little away from the question.
No, it's okay.
Yeah, it was a little more intense. The Jewish religion is, it's not as, you know, smiley and
perky-perky.
Perky-perky as maybe Christianity can be, or, you know, maybe some forms of Catholicism, not forms, but whatever they teach you at church. And I just thought about this because I've been at church lately. I've attended a couple Harvest, you know.
Yeah, you told me.
And it's very peaceful and the band is great.
Right,
you know,
right.
In synagogue, they have a cantor, which is a female singer and very, very talented, you know, but it's not the same as a band playing and, you know, let's party for Jesus. And, you know,
well, there's a wide variety of Christian churches from, you know, if you're going to a Southern Baptist church as far as what they do to a regular Baptist church to a Protestant, I mean, there's some churches you don't clap, you don't stand up, you sing the song that's,
There might be a piano or something.
So there's a wide variety, probably just like in the Jewish religion, from what they may or may not have.
Well, you know, it's becoming wider, like I said earlier, because of Reform temples, or we could just call them liberal for, you know, argument's sake.
And why do you think that? Because they want to draw in more people, or
why they're becoming more liberal,
right?
Or Reform? No, because you're having. No, that's not at all what it is. They only want to draw in Jewish people. But the problem is that a lot of, not the problem as I see it, but the problem that maybe a lot of Jewish people see it is that a lot of people are marrying outside of their religion, faith, culture now. A lot of Jewish people, a lot of my friends are not married to Jewish girls.
You know, and you have to be born from a Jewish woman to be a Jewish person.
Correct. And she, though, can go through a thing called the mikvah where they, you know, convert.
How long does that take?
I think it takes a couple of years. Mm. It could take a couple of years. I mean, you know, it sounds like Christianity is easier to convert to. That just takes 30 seconds.
Not even that.
Yeah. Like 10 words.
Yeah, the Jewish religion to is inclusive, if you want to call it that. But, you know, expanding outward now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And from what I see.
So they want to grow, basically.
Well, I don't know if they want to grow. It's just that they have to accept. They don't want to grow, actually, in my opinion. It's inclusive. They want to keep it.
Yeah, I don't mean grow.
They don't want to shrink.
Right, they want to grow as humans.
Yeah, but they don't want to let everybody in, but they want to grow as a Jewish nation.
Right.
Right. Okay, you going to get on your...
Yeah, I was waiting to the 25-minute mark, but yeah, I'll start now.
Okay,
Did I answer everything that you asked me? Was there something left out?
Everything's great, but it's not through. You're not through yet.
Oh, no, I don't want.
We're going to do it halftime.
Okay.
All right, it's time to have a look at what's going on and where you can get it going on. The best impressions start at home. Elite furniture for affordable prices. For more information, contact Richard Boyd at 951-214-8555. Drama Stage Qumran has a weekly Veterans Theater workshop. It's led by Melvin Ishmael Johnson and Earlene Anthony. The workshop is on Wednesday nights from 4 to 6 p.m., and it's a free course in stage managing, playwriting, and more. If you'd like more information about this, feel free to contact Melvin at 213-908-6567 or email him at dramastage1@yahoo.com. Positive Light is back with the kayak. If you know anything about our organization, we have a history of taking children kayaking. We take inner city kids, we take kids that are out of the city. We invite everyone to this event. The fundraiser will be held on August 22nd, and the actual kayaking trip will be held on September 19th. So mark your calendars. Make sure to invite and look up some kids that'd be perfect for this outreach. We're really excited about it, so spread the word. We'd like to thank our engineer, Cheyenne, for helping us. You're doing a great job, as usual. Thank you, Cheyenne. If you'd like to be part of our show through sponsorship, you can contact us at 951-789-1046. And to learn more about our nonprofit organization, it's called Positive Light Ministries. And if you want to make a donation, just visit our website. It's positivelight.org. And be sure to like us on Facebook at facebook.com/wearepositivelight. All right, back to our discussion with Brad.
Good job, Shante. So where were we when we where we left off? We were talking about...
You're saying the interracial, or not interracial, but...
Interfaith or intercultural.
Is a good question, though. Is there, like, do you see a lot of different other people, like, as far as, like, Black Mexicans inside, like, inside the...
The temple, or...
Yeah, the temple.
Synagogue.
Well, actually, there's a lot of Black Jews out there. You know, there's a whole community of them. I mean, it's a small community, but my current neighbor actually is a Black Jew. He's got Jewish heritage. He looked it up on Ancestry.com. I don't know how accurate it is.
So are there actually some of them where they're actually born Jewish, where like their parents are Jewish and they're Black too? Or is it just like there's somewhere like, converted. You know, they converted from like Christianity or Catholic going into...
No, I think that down the line they were, you know, because Judaism comes out of the Middle East, you know, which is right next to Africa and, you know, thousands of years ago, you know, the Jewish religion is very old, you know, so it was incorporated into, a lot of people incorporated it around that region back then, so...
You were telling me that there's two kinds of Jewish people. You were saying like there's like a white Jew and then there's a...
Well, regional-wise, geographical-wise, there's Sephardic, which means Spanish in Hebrew, and then there's Ashkenazic, which means European.
Oh, because I have a friend that's half Brazilian and half Jewish, so is that like...
Well, Sephardic means that there's... It's kind of like... Sephardic is kind of like saying to me, and I'll explain in a second, calling Ohio or Missouri the Midwest when it's not the Midwest. Sephardic means, because of the Inquisition, which happened in the 15th century, I believe, 16th century, all the Jews were ran out of Spain, so they're called Sephardic for that reason, but they spread everywhere, and they have different, you know, regional heritages, if you want to call it now, but the term is always there. You know, that's why I compare it to being Midwest. It's not really accurate necessarily, because there are Brazilian Jews. There's a lot of them. Yeah. Actually, they exiled thereafter, like the Holocaust. I believe a lot of them did. If you want to call it exiled, or, you know, they were migrated there. I don't know. Are you familiar with Bill Handel?
He's from Brazil.
Exactly.
He's Brazilian.
Right. He's a Brazilian Jew.
Yeah.
He looks very white.
Yeah, that's how my friend looks.
Right.
You wouldn't know that he was Brazilian or Jewish by looking at him. Just looks like a white.
And but most Brazilians are Portuguese. They're not of Hispanic descent. They're mostly Portuguese. A lot of them look white. I mean, they don't look, you know.
Speak Portuguese.
They have, you know, they're very heavily European influenced, their heritage. So, just like a lot of, mostly 90% of Jews are not Sephardic. They're European descent. But you'll see those ones that look maybe like they're from, you know, the Middle East, or and there's some that are, you know, there's some that are Black. There's actually exclusive Black synagogues for Jews. There's one I was reading about in Philadelphia recently.
Whoa.
Yeah.
And what were you reading about it?
Just in general, how, you know, because people aren't, the article was probably meant to educate people about it, how not everybody's Jewish is white or, you know, curly hair.
Yeah, I kind of wanted to, and I'm hoping that you'll come back on the show.
Absolutely.
And want to get into, like I said, politics, but, there's a lot of, well, some people are saying that the Jews are not white, that they're Black. And that my little niece was saying that the Egyptians said that you went away Black and you came back white. And they're always talking that, you know, that thing. And I mean, what do you think about that? Or do you have an explanation? Or, I mean, if you don't, you know, I'm just saying, that's what I always hear.
Are you asking why people...
why would they say that? And I mean, they're like saying that...
They refer to Jewish people as not being white.
Not being Jews. Like you, you're not a real Jewish person to them.
Because you're not
to the
Black.
Orthodox, you mean to the Orthodox or extreme religious people?
No, to Black people.
That I'm not a real Jew?
Right, because you're white.
Oh, I've never heard that, actually. I've heard the opposite of... I've heard, and if it's come from a lot of black people, that I'm not white because I'm Jewish.
Oh,
you know,
oh.
Or I'm not of, you know, Caucasian descent, which I am. I mean, you know, it's obvious.
It is obvious.
Yeah?
Yeah.
But
those you've never heard that then before?
I have, but not much. Not much of that.
That you're not really Jewish, and
because
you're not the descendants from
Abraham
and stuff, because if you were Middle Eastern, then you're going to be more of the darker complected, you know, curlier hair, black features.
If I showed you the pictures of my dad's side, you wouldn't say that they look that way. Most right, of them at least do, but you know. There's a lot of, you know, there's Jews, or it says in the Bible that they're going to scatter throughout the earth.
Right.
And, you know?
And I mean, I don't have a problem with it, but you know, it seems like a lot of people, and when you come back, we'll touch on these things and you know, kind of talk about that. But I wanted to ask you about your holidays, the Jewish holidays, and
Hanukkah's my favorite. Eight gifts. You know, that's that means Christmas. Isn't Christmas just one night?
Yeah. Eight times
in
one year.
Yeah. You know, you get eight gifts. You know, I always got the best ones up front, though. The remaining six were usually not that good.
Oh,
yeah, there were clothes I didn't want to wear.
No, okay. But so that would be your, can you talk about the, you said, you were telling me earlier that how many holidays are there?
Well, there's probably a little south of a dozen, but there are a lot of them are very minor. Like you were bringing up Esther and Haman, and that kind of thing. There's a holiday based upon that called Purim, which is not most Jews wouldn't even know what it is. It's just like a pilgrimage, kind of like, you know, it's not a real holiday. There's three actual major high holidays, actually two high holidays and three major, I would consider. The two being Rosh Hashanah, which is the Jewish New Year, which happens in September, depending on when the moon is at, you know, full circle. Also, the Yom Kippur, which comes 10 days after, which is the Day of Forgiveness. Mm-hmm. Jews, the Jewish religion teaches you that you just can't go into the temple and talk to a priest about, you know, the affair you just had or whatever whatever sin you committed. There's one day a year and you have to fast from sundown to, you know, sundown to sundown, whenever. And that falls always 10 days after the New Year. Then there's Passover, which, you know, falls in the spring during Lent, if you're a Catholic, or you know, during the Easter time. Mm-hmm. Which is biblically related. It's, you know, the 40 days, 40 nights in the desert, you know, but it's based upon actually 5 days, I believe. And you're only allowed to eat unleavened bread, which is matzah, you know, because that's what they made.
Yeah.
They didn't have yeast and wheat and all that stuff. So matzah is, you know, not non-yeasted. And so that's what you eat for a week.
You loved it, right?
No, I hated it because a lot of times we were in New York, actually, for spring break, which when I was in school, and my father is a very strict Jew growing up, he would buy me a hot dog, but take the bun off. I'm like, I can't do this. I'm going to go back.
I quit.
That sucks. I mean, you know, a hot dog without a bun.
Right. It's like, what's the purpose? What's the point?
Right. I want cheese and sauce on my pizza. I don't, you know.
Right. But with pizza, they took the bread away, right? So you would just get...
Oh, you can eat pizza. There's no... Don't even... You know, you can't just order cheese and sauce.
Yeah, it wouldn't be pizza.
Yeah.
It wouldn't?
You can have matzo pizza.
Oh,
matzo pizza is legal. Yeah, that's they green light that. The cheese and sauce is okay. It's just the bread.
Yeah.
Right. So it has to be unleavened.
Correct. So, unleavened bread, exactly, is the way to put it.
I was going to say, talking about Passover and stuff. I know it's a big ritual as far as my understanding of where you sit at, you know, exactly what you eat. I mean, you have certain types of food. I mean, that's because they all symbolize.
Absolutely.
You know, so is that how it is with Hanukkah or Yom Kippur or anything where they have a strict?
Hanukkah is they usually traditionally have eaten potato latkes, which are, you know, I don't believe that's a Jewish thing. I think it's a cultural thing, isn't it? Potato pancakes?
Yeah.
Mm.
Right? I thought they were Irish.
I think
German, so.
it's somewhere, it's European, you know. And, you know, for Yom Kippur, I always remember eating, you know, gefilte fish, salmon, and you know, some other noodle kugel and that kind of stuff.
Noodle kugel.
Noodle kugel, it's called. It's raisins and noodle with a little cream cheese. It's half dessert, half not.
Oh. Maybe you can cook some and then just bring it to us next time.
I couldn't cook top ramen. Actually, I'm an awful cook. My mother, though, is, I mean, she could whip up matzo ball soup in her sleep.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. That is actually given on almost every holiday, matzo ball soup, except for Hanukkah. She wouldn't break that out. It takes eight hours to make.
Whoa.
Yeah. Done right. Done right.
Okay. Now, we were kind of talking about the Exodus, when the Jews left, or they weren't Jews at that time. They were Hebrews, I believe.
They were Hebrew slaves.
Yeah, Hebrew slaves, and they left Egypt. And I guess what I really want to ask is when did you start, and I know you said, when did you know that you were agnostic or just starting to leave the faith? Now, I think just listening to you that you're just fed up with it, growing up with it, and you're just tired of it, and you just didn't want anything to do with it for those reasons. Now, is that what made you think, well, you know what, this isn't necessarily, this is too much work?
No, actually, I never really, I always, you could use the word disregarded it growing up. I had to go to temple, or else I didn't get to watch TV. You know, or there was some other kind of punishment. I disregarded it growing up, and, you know, we talked a little bit about my drug issues, and I decided to incorporate God. I was able to believe in it. I was going through a very, very hard time. I was living out of my car. This is years ago. I was diagnosed with a virus, which is gone. just to bring it all out there, because it's healthy to talk about. Lost my job. I had done hard drugs for the last time. My boss, who is still my boss, fired me. At that time, because I had gotten arrested, and I decided it's time to take a change, you know, make a change, and started praying and believing in God. What I didn't have any specific belief about who the God was I was praying to, but I incorporated it, and I took it seriously, and I was given a Bible, actually, and started reading it, and started questioning it a little bit, and, you know, was reading some other things, and was swayed more towards that.
But, like, what kind of things were you questioning? The name a few.
Specifically Genesis, you know, the beginning book of the Bible. And the way it was put by the person who... The Bible is the Bible, but it was done by a pastor out of Riverside, actually. He has a lot of inserts in it and, you know, kind of tries to hold your hand as he, you know, guides you into faith. And I didn't really buy into what he was saying. So I immediately started questioning it. I'm a very inquisitive person, so... And I was swayed the other way. You know, I wouldn't say I was swayed the other way. I was swayed halfway the other way and, you know, to an ignorant pool, I guess you can say. And I told Willis this the other day, I claim ignorance when it comes to these things. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know. And that's kind of what happened, you know.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, well, I was kind of curious because you're, you know, growing up, and a lot of people, like, they go to church, or they make their children go to church, you know, three times a week.
Like pastor's kids.
Right. And then that just turns them off completely when they you know, get of any kind of age where they have any kind of...
freedom.
Yeah, freedom or decisions, can make their own decisions. They make the decision to get the heck away from it because it's just too much.
What you're talking about is actually very interesting, and I was questioning... some Christians that I know out in Riverside. I had gone back home a couple of years ago to Cleveland, and I saw everybody, you know, the Jews, and I had this whole new view of, you know, believing in God and stuff. And I wanted to always ask the people who I grew up with what they believed in. We never talked about it ever, mm-hmm. which is, I find kind of strange. And I probably questioned three dozen Jews or more people I grew up with. And they kind of claim the same thing I do, which I found strange. They don't have very strong faith. Some of them do. In a creator, and with Christians, and to kind of answer what you were talking about, how they, you know, incorporating it with their children, making their kids go to church, they buy into it. Kids buy into Christianity more so than they do Judaism, in my opinion.
And well, reminds me of my daughter-in-law's grandmother. She was very, very upset when she became a Christian, and she says, "You were born a Catholic, you'll die a Catholic." It was, you know, didn't understand really what the Catholic religion, because she didn't practice, you know, Catholicism, but that's what her grandmother believed in. So it's like you're born a Jew, you die a Jew. I mean, because that's what you are.
Well, that's halfway true. But when it comes to religious beliefs, they are always a disposition. And it's, you know, you incorporate them into your life. You're not born into this world believing. I mean, I don't think so, that stuff. You know, I mean, you're taught it. You know, I think that the majority of people, if somebody was raised on an island and not taught the same things we're taught in society, I've got to believe that they would believe in God, though, still, you know, because of ignorance and curiosity.
You go to India and there's like 18 million gods that, you know,
at least
even in the backwoods jungle, there's something in them that tells them they have to worship something.
Yeah, Hinduism is a very exponentially polytheistic religion. I mean, they don't even, you couldn't even put a number
thousands,
on how many gods they have.
Yeah.
Millions.
Yeah.
Millions, I think.
Yeah.
Okay. And I mean, there's something in, I think, all of us that needs to worship something.
Absolutely.
And I believe that God put that in all of us and that we're supposed to worship him. And I mean, how does that work? Or why is it like that? Or that's just the way it is. So, I mean, like a lot of people think it's brainwashing a child into, like the atheists believe that you're brainwashing your child into believing the way you want them to believe. And they don't really have a choice in the matter because that's all they really know.
Yeah, but they're doing the same thing also. It's, you know, you're setting forth an ideology, even if you're somebody who very loosely, you know, someone like me, I thought about this. I don't have children, but if I were to raise them, if I were to have them, what would I tell them? I don't know what to tell them because I would be drawn to take them to temple because that's what was done with me. And I have a few friends that have children that maybe sort of feel the same way. Actually, I have a very, very Jewish friend. He grew up practicing all the, you know, the religion and stuff. And to this day, he's married to an Orthodox girl and they have children and their children are heavily involved in the Jewish religion, but he is an atheist. Yeah, but he's like the only atheist Jew. I told you.
No. You know what? I didn't do the stats. I didn't do my homework, but a lot of the Jews in Israel are atheists.
I think they're more secularism. They're more secularist than they are atheist, I think, which is somebody who just doesn't want religion and politics to mix.
Oh, yeah, I didn't have a chance to do the research on that.
No, you're not too far off from what I've seen from this, you know, the stats and everything. I think that there are a number of them who would claim either agnostic or atheist, but it's not what rules there, obviously.
Oh, obviously.
Yeah, you know.
But it's odd that a people that, in my opinion, God is really blessed that they would hold that or even think about holding that opinion or...
Well, a lot of their opinion is ignorance. A lot of them, like, you know, from talking to a lot of them, it's not that there's no God. And, you know, most atheists or agnostic will not come out and say that there's no God. They just, I don't buy into it necessarily based upon what I see.
A specific one.
You mean a specific God?
Yeah.
Well, that's probably part of it. Of what, you know, what maybe draws people away from it is that there's a multitude of religions in the world, you know, 23 actually major ones with thousands of denominations.
Yeah.
Like, that's part of what also has swayed me away from, you know, having an absolute belief about God. I don't know. I think with Jewish people, it's, you know, it's maybe the education aspect of it. You know, Jews are, the one thing that they're religious about is education, putting their kids into school and, you know, secondary college education and even postgraduate and all that stuff. So that stuff's going to make people think and... That might sway them away from being so religious, you know. But in the Bible, it's, you know, in the Exodus story, it, you know, it suggests that they're very rebellious.
Oh, a stiff-necked people.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I think with Judaism, there is the cultural aspect of it, and then there's the religious aspect of it. So if you don't practice the religious part, you're still maybe raised culturally
with that.
Yeah. Because it is a whole culture. Like you said, you know, you do certain things just because that's the day you're supposed to do those things on.
And I just saw something about that from on the Yahoo News. It was from the American Atheist president, who's a Jewish guy, David Silverman. And he's saying that the stuff that you practice as an atheist, if you're an atheist Jew, just say I go to, you know, the foods I eat and some of the things I practice, not necessarily the things I practice, but the things we eat, and maybe some of the light traditions are not religious. He says they're cultural. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't agree with him necessarily, but, you know,
Where's the line between the two?
Right. I mean, you know, I don't know too many people who aren't Jewish who don't eat matzah. You eat matzah?
We don't eat matzo. We eat
unleavened bread. But I think a matzo ball's in the chicken broth or whatever the broth is or something.
But unleavened bread is the same, right?
Matzo ball is just mixed with matzo meal. It's like a powder. Yes, it's not leavened, but matzah is a hardened. You can crack it. It's what we eat for
communion.
Communion, yes.
Like a wafer.
Yeah, it's a unleavened bread, like a cracker almost, like saltine.
Yeah, but it just doesn't have any bland.
It's bland, like water and flour.
But they do have flavor. They have onion even. It's like a bagel, which is also a popular Jewish thing.
I've never had the flavored.
Spice up your community.
Yeah.
Give you a little sriracha sauce on it.
No. I think what you're saying about the brainwashing, I think it's true. But then also at the same time, it's also different because, you're Jewish, but yet you have all different types. Like coming from my dad was growing up Catholic. My dad grew up Catholic. He did the everything. He did the communion and he did all that stuff. But when he met my mom, I grew up Christian. My mom grew up, she didn't know God yet until someone came to her house and told her, hey, we have a church down the street. My grandma didn't even know this church was down the street. Came to church and then I grew up Christian. Now, when my mom and dad met each other, my grandparents had a big conflict with my mom because they were like, oh, no, Catholic is better than Christian. And I was like, to me, I thought it was just all the same. You guys are worshiping the same people. But then as I got older, I talked to my dad about Catholic and he goes, yeah, we believe in the Mary. We believe in Joseph. We believe in all these other saints. I said, why do you believe in other saints? He goes, that's what dragged me away from it because your grandma and grandpa always fed it down my throat. You need to worship Mary. You need to worship saints and all this. And I was just like, I don't think that because I was pretty much what my parents tell me is I was born Christian. I was born Christian because I grew up Christian. I grew up in the same church for up to like 18 years. Same church. My best friend that I've known ever since I was born is from the same church as me. So pretty much when my dad met my mom, he went from Catholic to Christian. And when he went that, he was like, I understand it more now. I understand what God is talking about more because he read the Bible. He read it back and forth. And then he read it with the pastor back and forth. And he understood it more that he understood that God is just saying, don't worship the saints. And it just tripped me out because it went from my grandparents going to Catholic to going to Christian. Now, in my family, we have all different types of people. Now, when we get together for gatherings, we have two cousins who are atheists. Now, when they come over, they start a whole community because they're just like, why do you believe in God? And they're just, and my grandparents are like, because like it says in the Bible, who wrote the Bible? And then they're like, oh, well, Jesus, how do you know he wrote the Bible? Were you there? And like they start quoting. And then it's just weird because first they go from atheists to they believe in Scientology to the point where like they just believe in evolution.
Well, Scientology is you might be thinking science. Scientology is another religion, I believe.
It's all crazy, and I wanted to ask you, what would you teach your children? But we don't have any more time. I want to get some closing questions or closing comments. What do you need? I mean, come on, you, Brad.
Closing comments?
Spit it out.
Based upon what we talked about today?
Yeah.
Oh, we had a great conversation today. I definitely want to do this again. Mm-hmm. I have so many, I could sit here and talk about one of the topics we've talked about for days on end. So
yeah, that's usually how it is.
Hopefully we can do this again.
That's the plan. So, Niece?
No, very, very interesting. Different aspect from, what I've been raised around. I've been raised in a Christian family all my life. What I know is what I've read.
Oh, and to touch real quick, I think what you were saying, I think that the only difference, and correct me if I'm wrong, like the difference between Christianity and Catholicism is the same thing and also the purgatory thing. But it's still the same religion. You're still worshiping the same God.
You may be worshiping the same God, but they have a lot of practices that aren't necessarily.
Yeah, they worship Mary as a.
Well, and then they go to a priest for confession where I can talk directly to God. Yeah, it's a whole different practice.
It is a different whole
Simply what my parents told me is me and Shai went to LACMA and we went to go see some stuff. And one of the crosses had Jesus on it still. And she's all like, why is that? And I said, the difference between Catholics and Christians, right? She said, no. She said, on the top of the cross, it says the name. And I said, no, the difference between Christian and Catholics that my parents taught me were Catholics believe in that God rose, but his body stood on the cross. Christians believe in that God's body and his soul rose up to the heavens. So that's why if you notice, Christians wear a cross without Jesus, and God, and Catholics wear it with Jesus.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. I never knew that either. But we're completely out of time. So what I'm going to say is we are never more like our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ than when we are loving, forgiving, and creating.
Thank you guys for tuning in to Positive Perspective.